And we'd now go live through the technology of the telephone down to Champaign, Illinois, and the University of Illinois area. And Tara Beveroth joins us. Tara, how'd I do on your name? Is it close at all?
You were spot on. Better than most.
Is that right? Well, I have an opportunity to screw it up before we're done talking today. So, let's take it from the top here. You're connected with the University of Illinois down there, and you do something called population trend monitoring. I'm guessing that says what it means or means what it says, but tell me more about that.
So I've worked on many projects throughout my time at the survey, but one of the big parts of my job is working on monitoring how bird populations change through time. And so a couple of the programs I coordinate for the state are these monitoring programs that are actually volunteer-based. And so depending upon the time of year, we have volunteers that go out and survey for birds. And it gives us an idea of how the birds are doing essentially over time. So there are bird surveys in North America, for instance, like the Breeding Bird Survey,
mm-hmm.
Which started way back in 1966, and that was started by Chandler Robbins. And so that survey itself is a really neat survey to kind of reference in terms of bird surveys and studying trends over time, because we've learned so much from it, and that data is used regularly by so many people.
And how is that? Are people physically going out in the woods or out into the trees in the forest and looking to see how birds are doing, or how do you?
It depends on the survey.
Yeah, yeah.
it's very dependent on the survey. So we have a survey that is called the Spring Bird Count, and that happens every year on the Saturday between the 4th and 10th of May, and we have basically somebody in each county of the state that organizes volunteers in that county, and they go out and survey throughout the county. And basically during that day, and they can start as early as they want that day, they go out and count every bird they see or hear and record it.
Wow.
You know, record that bird. So, you know, that data set's been around since 1972, and it was started by Vern Kleen, who used to be the state ornithologist for Illinois. And so, you know, we have a lot of data, and we have a long-running species list for that.
And you say record, do you take pictures or video or sounds?
Some people will take pictures while they're out, and if it's, you know, one of these birds that's a rare bird and something that you wouldn't normally expect to find, or, you know, something that's a vagrant that just comes in because, you know, it gets blown in or weather,
a vagrant bird.
Changes its pattern. Yeah. And so In the case like that, you know, we kind of ask for a little bit more documentation to make sure that it for sure is what the birder is saying it is. So
this is Tara Beveroth, who is a birder, a bird. Are you a twitcher?
I honestly, you know, I don't consider myself a total twitcher.
Yeah.
I am not one that will drive all the way across the state to see a rare species. It's got to be semi-close.
I just learned that.
I consider myself more of a researcher and someone that just really enjoys bird watching.
I just learned that word 5 minutes ago. Say to somebody,
a lot of them.
You're a total twitcher. So diurnal birds and nocturnal birds. In full disclosure, I have a bunch of birds here that surround the studio here, and I stick out the mic out the window. We get some of them, you know, in the morning and talk to them. And I think I know what they're saying to me now, but those are mostly, diurnal birds, right? Nocturnal birds. I guess, with the exception of an owl, I don't even know what those are. And that's part of what you specialize in, yes?
So, yeah, I actually coordinate another monitoring program. It's called the Moon Program, Monitoring of Owls in Nightjars in Illinois. And so we started that program back in 2008 primarily because, you know, there's a lot of bird surveys out there, but most of them primarily focus on daytime birds because that's when people are out. And so we wanted to kind of get an idea of what's going on with these nocturnal birds, because they're not only cryptic, so they're not that noticeable, but they're pretty much primarily active at night or dawn and dusk which you can be, you can call that crepuscular. There's another fun word for you.
Another what? What's the word?
Another fun word. It's crepuscular.
Crepuscular?
So those are birds that are pretty active at dawn and dusk. You know, they may be active at night as well, but...
What was the, you said these are cryptic birds. I know what cryptic means, but in terms of, how did you mean that when you said these are cryptic birds?
So these are birds that blend in really well with their environment. You know, they're not the showy birds. They're not birds that are going to be extremely colorful or have lots of color because they don't need to, because they're not active at night.
Okay.
They don't need to necessarily show off their color to find a mate. You know, they're birds that are more interested in blending in with their environment. Some of these birds, like in the case of nightjars, which are a really cool group of birds, some of them nest on the ground. And so they may need to blend in with leaves or leaf matter so that they don't get eaten by a predator.
Oh, man.
And so, you know, and when they're hunting for food, they don't want to be seen by the prey that they're going after.
Tara, I believe we have the buff-colored nightjar right here. Can you hear this? Is that it?
That might be its call. I'm not entirely sure. So we don't have that species in Illinois.
We have we have an extensive research department, and that's what Sparks came up with, the buff-colored nightjar. No, but you don't have that one here in Illinois. You have other, but you mentioned
we have three species of nightjar in Illinois. We have common nighthawks, we have Chuck Will's widow, and we have the eastern whippoorwill.
These names are fun. Are you kidding? The Eastern Whippoorwill.
Oh, well, oh, they kind of, they like, in terms of the Chuck Will's widow and the Eastern Whippoorwill, they kind of were named because of the sounds they make.
Yeah.
So if you've ever heard an Eastern Whippoorwill, you won't forget it because it will say, it can repeat, it will repeat whippoorwill, whippoorwill over and over 50 to 100 times in a row.
I gotta
do this. They've recorded them doing this all night long. So if you're camping next to an eastern whippoorwill, you might want earplugs. But they're a fascinating bird, and sadly, you know, they've declined throughout North America, and it's a species of concern. The whole nightjar group is, actually, which is unfortunate.
Let me see if I can pull off. I think this one is also a nocturnal bird. Let's see here. That's a burrowing owl, Tara, I think. Does that ring a bell?
We've had a couple cases, or a couple, you know, they've been seen in Illinois, and they're very well protected. And so the areas that they've been found in Illinois are kind of hush, hush.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a Western species, but it's a really neat bird. And, you know, I remember seeing those for the first time out west and how excited I was to see those because, you know, they're not your typical owl. You know, they actually have burrows in the ground and they're out during the day. And so they're a neat species of owl.
Yeah, listen, taking the chance of sounding like a complete idiot here, I didn't even know owls did that. They burrow into the ground?
All owls.
Yeah, not
the
by
burrowing
any,
owl is just a...
special owl.
It's a specialized owl. You know, owls do different things. You know, those burrowing owls, they're out on, you know, amongst prairie dog colonies too, you know, so they're kind of sharing the same habitat. Out there. And, you know, we have owls that will use, like a great horned owl, for instance, which is our biggest owl in Illinois. They'll use an old, you know, red-tailed hawk nest to nest in. And then they'll also use, owls will use, like, dead trees. You know, if a tree breaks off, I like to tell people, don't take down all your dead trees because, you know, animals will use those things, you know, and other animals like our little screech owls in the state, they will nest in cavities. So, you know, they do different things, and just because it's an owl doesn't necessarily mean it'll be nesting in a tree, I guess.
I'll tell you, and I'm listening to the interaction between the animals. We got a dog over here in the building who used to leap into the air and attempt to catch a bird in flight. I don't know if you've ever seen that. But I mean, I guess it goes back to all the, you know, the bird's basic, the animal's basic, whatever that's called, you know, their basic nature. So.
Oh, yeah.
But some birds are more, I want to get into like the psychology of birds. I don't want to appear that I just was released from an institution here, Tara, but I'm beginning to think that there are, like, for example, this I read here. Are you ready?
Yep.
That's a blue jay.
Oh, yeah.
They're mean. Are they mean? Those are mean birds.
I feel like they're kind of a little bit of a bully.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've had people that, you know, they'll put cameras on bird nests.
Yeah.
And blue jays will, they will predate other bird nests. They will destroy the eggs. They'll eat, you know, they are definitely kind of bully birds. You know, there are birds that if I have other birds sitting at my bird feeder, they will come in and scare, you know, push them all off. They're
wow.
definitely a strong bird and a smart bird.
Yeah.
and a unique bird. They have so many different calls, you know. I've had times where I'm like, wait, what is that? And I'm like, oh, that's a blue jay, you know, because they have such a neat dialect.
Tara, this is not a precursor to a pop quiz here, but if I started playing sound effects, would you be able to say that's a mourning dove, that's a mallard duck, or what about that? You have a lot of those sounds in your head?
So I know a lot of bird calls for Illinois. I don't know all the ones in the world. There's over 10,000 species. But I try to be in the know on what's going on with Illinois bird calls. It's part of my job, actually. At least the main thing I do, I go out and I do a lot of bird surveys. So a lot of my job depends on knowing the songs or calls of breeding birds in Illinois. So you get into the warblers and it can get a little challenging sometimes because you hear one little chip and it can definitely stump you.
I opened the program. This is again a voyage of discovery. This, as you may know, Tara, is.
Oh.
Do you know what that is?
Is that a bald eagle calling?
Oh my jeez! Wait a minute. Oh, you have won whatever we have. It is a bald eagle. That's incredible. Okay, now that, all right, if you just tune in, we did not tune this up. That, wow, how about that? But I have to say, I don't want to speak on behalf of all Americans. I didn't even know that those birds made a sound. They're always, you know, staring into the wind and they're on the money and you know what I'm talking about. I had no idea that
they're
were
kind of our stoic bird.
Yeah, jeez, that is something. Wow.
Yeah, so, they're neat birds. They're very cool birds.
Do you?
And they've made a huge comeback. So
throughout
the whole state.
That I saw. Those were on the way to being extinct, right?
Yeah, they weren't doing well, and so we're seeing a lot of those raptors that had really declined really make a huge comeback. Which you know, they're one of the groups of birds that's actually doing good right now because there's not too many that are, and they're luckily one of those groups of birds that are doing well.
So what about bird conservation? What can an amateur bloke like me do about that to know about it?
You know, I think there's a lot of things that any of us can do. You know, there's a, I mean, if say you have a yard, you know, if you have a house and you have a yard or even a tiny little yard, I mean, right. There's little things you can plant. I always tell people I'm a big pusher of planting native plants because perhaps I think probably the biggest thing that has hurt birds is loss of habitat. And so if you can do something to help those birds, especially during migration, you know, whether it's like putting food or water out, you know, it's really important for birds. You know, we used to have grassland covering most of our state, and sadly, that has been, you know, that has been lost.
Paved over.
Yes, yeah, paved over. It's, you know, we live in a landscape that's pretty homogenous, and we have primarily, you know, corn and soybean.
Tara, let me take you back to migration real quick. We kind of know what that is, but you just said I should put out water for the birds. I'm happy to do that. I just never thought of doing that.
Well, right now it's been so dry,
yeah.
You know, and if these birds are migrating, you know, we have a little fountain out, and, you know, we had a pond, but it's a whole other story. But, you know, and we see birds constantly drinking out of it.
Wow.
And so having a water source available, you know, I think sometimes that's easily forgotten that, you know, water's not always the easiest thing to find. And so if you have a water source, that can be really important, especially in the winter,
yeah,
because things freeze. And having a running water source or unfrozen water source is really important for birds.
And what about some, listen, I put out a bird, I think it was called a fruit nut bell, that mm-hmm. I got down at the store for no apparent reason. I hung it in the tree and nothing happened. And then a day or two later, it was gone. You know, it looked like they partied. You know, it was like nothing, nothing left but Red Bull cans and, you know, it sounds like I'm goofing around. I really would like to get to sort of, get into these birds a little bit. I would love to feed them if I knew how to do that. And,
well, you know, it's, you know, you want to get something that, you know, that is kind of high energy, high quality food, I like to say. And yeah, honestly, one of the best things I like to get is just black oil sunflower seed. You can't really go wrong with that, I feel like.
Say it again. Say it again.
Go ahead.
Go on. We have phone thing here. It's something sunflower seed. Go ahead, please.
Oh, black oil sunflower seed?
Okay, black oil sunflower seeds. All right, good.
Mm-hmm. And they love suet. I mean, when during migration, birds love a good, you know, high energy quality suet.
they need a blast.
Yeah.
Do all birds? And thanks for doing this. We've had you on. It's actually now Friday. You've been on for 2 days here. I hope you'll come back, and I'll ask you some of these things if we could, but do all birds, do they all chirp? Do they all sing? Are there some that are not mute, but when I look out the window and I try to see what birds are making the noise, are some species they're just more talkative? Is that true?
Yeah, so most birds communicate. You know, a lot of them, you know, we have what are our songsters, you know, our big singing birds, and, you know, they communicate in all different ways, you know, whether it's while they're migrating, they may be doing little chip notes. If you're out during migratory time, you know, in the spring or the fall, you may hear on a nice clear night little sounds in the sky, and that could be because they're trying to keep in contact with one another. So they make these little sounds so that they know where, you know, the other birds are, essentially.
And then
you have birds. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, migrating again, we're going south for the winter, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, and then you have birds that, you know, call to or sing to attract a mate. You know, the males are typically the ones that do most of the singing. And, you know, the more they sing, the stronger they look, the earlier in the morning they sing, you know, the more likely they are to get the mate.
In all forms of endeavor, they get up, those macho birds, they're belting them out.
Yeah, you know, the early bird catches the mate, you could say.
Wow.
Start singing early.
Tara, you were what a treat to have you on this morning. I hope you can join us again. We told some people about some stuff here. I hope that we'll ignite not only my interest in some of this stuff, but everybody's interest. I have to say, at the risk of sounding naive, I just didn't pay attention to birds. I mean, they're all around us. I had nothing against them. But I just started what you just told me about feeding them and watering them anyway. So, yeah, good on you for letting us know here. And hopefully, I just read we had the hottest September ever. So in the world of environment, I think this is all you know, it's all appropriate to talk about.
So, oh yes.
Yeah. What else? And do you have a bird thing at night that you do? You have a group thing that people get together? Is that coming up or not? Ever?
So I do nocturnal bird surveys in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
They're usually in May and June, and so it's a volunteer thing where people get in their car and do roadside surveys. You know, I've done some owl prowls in the past just for public engagement.
An owl prowl? An owl prowl.
Yeah, owl prowl.
All right. Okay.
So those are pretty fun. And so, yeah, I mean, I tend to like to go out at night and listen to the sounds of the night. I think it's a pretty fun thing to do. So
you sound centered. More, we could use more of that in the world. Tara, thank you. Thanks.
No, I'm happy to do this. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm trying to find the right bird to leave you with here. How about the greater prairie chicken?
Sure, that poor bird needs as much, you know, publicity as it can get.
He needs a shout out. Wow. I know. There it is, Tara. I feel the same way. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You have a good day today.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.